What is going on, Pooj Crew? Thank you for being here for episode 100, and I guess we're on 130 right now at this point. It's been about 2.5 months since we've put some out. I mean, it's been the offseason for the NFL. It's been the offseason for us, going through a lot of things with job transitions, but I finally have some time to get back to the lab of podcasting, so I'm excited to be here. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Go follow us on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. A lot going on in the NFL world, or in the sports world, but most definitely the NFL world, with the NFL draft coming up on Thursday. That's what we are going to dive into today. And I will assure you this, all of us will be wrong on our picks, and none of us are experts on what's going to happen, but I hope you enjoy what we have to say. What's going on in the NFL draft. So I'm going to welcome in the fellas. The Jags crew is back after a 2.5 month hiatus. Appreciate everyone being here. Thank you guys for taking some time to join me.
Is it that time of year again that we get our hopes up? And we think what's up?
Let's be real, guys. Like, it's all about the mock draft. Like, we've been sitting around. We haven't just been sitting. We've been studying these players. I know all of you guys have some good names in mind for these teams, and I'm excited as the draft analyst for the Pooj podcast to get into this shit. I don't know about y'all.
Can you call yourself your correct name? You're the mock draft professor. I don't know what this whole draft analyst is. Analyst puts too much of an actual title on you. Draft professor is a lot better.
No, the point is that on my resume, it's going to read draft analyst, and that's going to be able to sell it to any, you know, other podcasts that, you know, want to bring me on. Draft analyst kind of gives that feel of, you know, that I know something that not everyone else does. And that's kind of what I'm going for in this. I'm going to be giving you guys a lot of insight into these players and these top 10 picks. So I'm really excited. Really excited.
I'm excited,
Sam, too. Sam, you're not here to simply tell us your thoughts and opinions. You're here to tell us exactly how it's going to go down.
I'm very confident, actually, in this mock draft. It's my 1.0. I've actually put a lot of work into it. And I would say over the last couple of years, I've been on this podcast for, last year we did this. I'm actually more confident in this mock draft than I was in any of the other mock drafts. I think I'm getting a little better at this. And let's get started. I'm about it.
I'm excited, too, to see what you have to spit out at us, because I'm always excited to see how the actual draft aligns with your mock draft. So we can either praise you and I can post something cool on the podcast, YouTube and Instagram channel, or we can either rip you to shreds and say Sam got 0 of 10 picks correct. So I'm looking forward to it as well.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, though. This year is like the 1 year where I think no one really knows what the order is going to look like. Whereas in like previous years, you're like, oh, quarterback, you know, they need this, they need that. This one is like it can go anywhere for every team. So I don't know how you're more confident this year than you have been in the past.
I want to pull up my picks from last year. I didn't get a chance to see how I did, but that doesn't matter. You know, that's in the past. It's all about moving forward for us. And I will say last year I did say Mac Jones was going to be the second best quarterback in the draft. And sure enough, that guy was producing. So, the jury's still out on Trey Lance and Justin Fields, but I think anyone can say that their seasons were an underperformance of what they were expecting. So,
do you think it was Mac Jones, or you went to the best team? Because all the other teams were before him on shit teams, and then he went to the Patriots and won a game where he had 3 completed passes.
Best situation, Sam. Mac Jones went to the best situation. Every single person listening to this, every person sitting here knows that's the reason why.
Let's be real. If it was between Mac Jones and Jimmy Garoppolo on the 49ers last year, I don't know. You know, it's like which player is going to be better for them? I mean, do we know? Whereas, I mean, it was clearly, you know, Trey Lance was not in the position to start. And as my prediction for this year, I believe it's all smokescreen and that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the quarterback moving forward for that team. Trey Lance still not projecting out to the player that they wanted him to be. I think he's looking at a Jordan Love situation possibly for his career. But, I mean, we'll see. You know, the season's just getting started, guys. That's why we're all here. And I'm super excited.
You know, what's really sad about what you just said, Sam, is when the Jaguars are picking in the top five, it's like desperate. We need to hit on somebody. We got to get someone good. Every time the 49ers are like drafting in the top 10, I feel like they can whiff completely and they're still going to be fine in the next 2 years. Like, that's just how it feels. And if Trey Lance doesn't pan out for the 49ers, I still feel like that team's not going to look back at the draft and say, oh, we could have changed the direction of our franchise if we would have taken someone else besides Trey Lance.
Man, they got a lot of first-round capital tied up in Trey Lance. So, I mean, I think everyone in that city has got their fingers crossed that that guy's going to pan out because, I mean, that was, you know, a couple first-rounders, I believe, and some high draft capital after that. But, you know, we'll see. I haven't seen anything to show that Trey Lance is going to be the starter besides a lot of talking. So, so we'll see. We'll see. Jimmy Garoppolo is still a 49er.
Fair enough. Well, last year's draft, we had five quarterbacks go in the first round, I believe, with Mac Jones being the fifth quarterback off the board at number 15. I want to say to the Patriots, you had Lawrence, Zach Wilson to the Jets at 2, Trey Lance at 3 to the Niners, and then Justin Fields at 7 to the Bears. I think all those franchises will make the most out of those opportunities. And this year, wouldn't you have it, very little quarterback depth in this NFL draft. There's questions as to how many quarterbacks are going to go in the first round. We'll get into that, of course, later on in the show, because I'm very curious. I do have a very specific question I want to ask once we dive into kind of the broader spectrum of the draft prospects. But let's dive into some Jaguar talk, because I know that's what everyone here is to wants to listen to, is here for. Inspiring Jaguar offseason moves that you guys liked, or just general takeaways over the last 2 months since the four of us have been in hibernation of the podcast?
Well, personally, I think that everyone, you know, Jags fans and even front office people that were maybe saying Trent Baalke might, you know, might be a clown or might not be the right kind of guy for the job, I think that everyone kind of maybe needs to make a little apology to the guy. He made a lot of moves in free agency, which I think that a few people on this podcast would say that were good moves. Really, really. So everyone begging for the Jags to finally go spend some money. This guy unloads the bank, the highest free agency payout in football, NFL football history. And you guys are still upset. It's actually kind of cool. The Patriots last year, they spent the most money in football history. The Jags take the crown this year with a lot of good players that I believe are going to help us out. Jacob?
So here's my thing. How come we didn't spend all that money last year? We had a guy who was – it was his first time being an NFL head coach, and so he had no leverage when it came to the NFL game. And funny enough, we didn't spend any money. We just happened to hire this Super Bowl-winning head coach with a great resume, and all of a sudden the guy in question decides to spend some money. I love that you want to give credit to Trent Baalke. At the end of the day, he is the GM. He is in charge of that. But I think that Doug Peterson had a great voice in that, as well as Shad Khan, probably saying, hey, this is one of your last shots. If we don't like what you do here, you're gone. So I do think at the end of the day, he was in charge of, you know, all these moves and kind of leading it in terms of signing these deals. But I think there was a lot of pushback on the other end. But I do like the moves we made. I do think there were a lot of good moves, offense and defense. I feel like the defense doesn't have any huge holes. And that's good because we can get a guy in this draft to maybe kind of finalize it and then work on some pieces for Trevor. Christian Kirk obviously was the big contract that everyone said broke the market. But I think he's going to be a great player. And, you know, inflation is a thing. It is in the NFL as well. So here we go. We're starting the inflation.
I want to get into that Christian Kirk contract briefly in a second. But Sam, to your point about the offseason spending, if you're Trent Baalke and you know this is your last shot at saving your job and you have all this money at your expense, you're going to go out and spend it. There's no reason for you to sit on it. It's not your money at the end of the day. And likely, this is probably your last opportunity to be a GM in the NFL. So it's not like any other teams out there are going to say, oh, we don't want this guy to come into our front office because he just shot from the hip and spent millions of dollars on a bunch of guys. I think he went out and spent fearlessly because he knew that this was his last opportunity. Got to go out and get the players you need. Jacob, to your point, I think there was a little bit of hesitation from Shad Khan on the Urban Meyer hiring. I think it was a hire at the time where he wanted to make a splash and get a big name into Jacksonville. But I also think the team was hesitant to maybe bring in some pieces that he wanted thinking there might not be a chance this guy lasts long, and we don't want to hamstring ourselves with big contracts for guys that Urban Meyer wants, knowing, okay, if this goes south quick, which we all know it did looking back, we didn't really get tied down by any Urban Meyer acquisitions. And I think that's a pretty big important thing to note is Urban Meyer came in and he did a terrible job. I'll be the first to say it. I'll be the last to say it. I don't think that the team is worse off from a roster standpoint because of anything he did. I don't think that we're in a cap situation, a cap problem. Had they gone out and spent willingly last year and the team still performed like they did, then we'd be in a worse spot now. And we would have gotten Doug Peterson in. We would have had less money to spend in free agency this year. And I'd much prefer Doug Peterson to spend the money than Urban Meyer to spend the money with the NFL background.
Two of the guys I really like, the sheriff in town, Brandon Scherff, you know, we get a Pro Bowl guy on the line. That's one. I think the Christian Kirk one, like everyone talks about that one so much because it was such a big deal. But Brandon Scherff, I really liked. And I liked, honestly, the Evan Engram 1 year deal. It's like, yeah, he gets hurt all the time, but we have no tight ends. Having a tight end with a big name might be something. Give him 1 year. If he's not good, just toss him some other team later.
Yeah. And I also think the Evan Engram signing is interesting from how they're trying to use him. They've been very transparent. Jacob, we were talking the other day, he's wearing number 17. He's not trying to mask himself as a line tight end. I think they need to try and utilize him like Darren Waller or Travis Kelce. And I doubt he'll be as effective as those guys. I mean, those guys are two of the best tight ends, if not the two best tight ends in the league, right up there with George Kittle, of course. But I think Evan Engram can come in and make an impact. And we saw how Trevor Lawrence's performance improved the players around him. And we saw guys like Jamal Agnew making plays because we had a quarterback that could put the ball where he wanted to put it. And I think bringing in a guy like Evan Engram, who has played with, you know, Nichols as his quarterback with Danny Dimes and so many other trash quarterbacks, I think Evan Engram is probably excited to just get a change of scenery, get away from the New York media market and come to Jacksonville where he can just kind of have a prove it deal. And if he enjoys his time here with Trevor Lawrence, there's nothing to say the team won't re-sign him next year in the offseason and bring him back if he can at least perform. So let's jump into this real quick. Obviously, with the acquisition of, what was it, Jacob?
Aluakon.
Everyone at the time was excited for him to play alongside Miles Jack. Miles Jack then gets released after what I assume attempting to potentially restructure the contract. I'd like to think that there was at least an effort to restructure the contract. Thoughts on Miles Jack wasn't down leaving town. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, that guy's a great player, and he's a great, great player for Jacksonville. He was, you know, part of the 2017 squad that saw us go to the AFC Championship. So I feel like a lot of Jags fans are kind of sad to see him go. They want to ask why. Why is he going? I mean, this guy, you know, came out of the draft with, you know, knee concerns, injury concerns. You know, he's been on the team for, what, six years now?
I think five years.
I mean, linebackers' lifespan in the NFL, you know, is shorter than other players. So I could see the team wanting to kind of make a new start, kind of move on from him, even though he's still a good player. You can see that in the Steelers picking him up immediately. He's going to be a good player for them too, but I think for the Jags, it's kind of a smart move to get off of that, you know, big deal that he had and go spend that money on some of these other players.
It seems like Miles Jack was kind of the last piece of that 2017 team that was still on this team. So it's kind of the official nail in the coffin of our fans being able to look back and say, oh, well, 2017 was a fun year and we can still get back to that because, quite frankly, everyone's gone and Aaron Colvin's gone. Jalen Ramsey's gone. Barry Church is gone. Deshaun Gibson's gone. Telvin Smith is gone. Miles Jack is gone. Yannick Ngakoue is gone. Calais Campbell's gone. I mean, we could continue on with who is gone from that team. So I'm excited to see how it goes. Another Jaguar going to Pittsburgh from the defensive side as Tyson Alualu did many years ago. So we'll see how Miles.
Yeah, Jack, Joe Schobert. Don't forget about him.
Joe Schobert. Yeah, man, that's a good call there. So it seems like Pittsburgh's just employing the strategy of if you can't beat them, join them. And they're just trying to get any players they can from Jacksonville since they can't seem to beat us in Pittsburgh ever, really. So Let's get into the draft. Any other front office thoughts from the offseason? Anything you guys got? Anything with Jacksonville, the Jags, anything?
No, I mean, I was just going to add, I really like that Foye Luikon pick. I think linebacker, you know, you said our defense didn't have any holes, but I mean, I think that a big hole on the defense is the linebacker position. And right now we got Shaq Quarterman and then Foye Luikon. I mean, Shaq played pretty well for us last season, but I kind of see him as a, you know, more of a depth player. So I could see them try to add to that position in the draft. Absolutely.
Hey, I want to ask Jacob to expand on what he said real quick. Earlier, he mentioned it doesn't seem like there's many holes on the defensive side, and a lot of people listening to a podcast that supports a 2-14 team that has had the number one pick back to back years. Again, no team has ever had number one pick 3 years in a row, so we really have to figure out how to win some games this year. But Jacob, explain yourself a little bit, expand on that, because I'm trying to figure out how you can look at a 2-14 team, not you in general or you in specific, just in general, how you can feel confident about some pieces on the defensive side of the ball.
Sounds pretty crazy, right? You know, a number one pick overall team with no holes. And when I say no holes, I don't necessarily mean we have like the best defense, because you can always get better players, obviously. But I see what they did in free agency, you know, picking up some defensive linemen. They did get the linebacker, even though we lost Miles Jack. We signed, you know, corner and Darius Williams. I feel like what they did was they kind of filled holes that they already had. So you can go into the draft and not be trying to get your starters. And so one of the main things is like 3-4 defense. I feel like we got a lot of very solid players interior defensive linemen. No outstanding standout like Aaron Donald type guys, but we have a good solid rotation there. We have Josh Allen. The opposite defensive end is where I might question there is a hole. But the linebacker position, it's a little different looking at it now being a 3-4 because Josh Allen, people like him, Kalyvon Chaisson, who wasn't the best last year, but those outside like rusher guys are technically kind of a part of that. But I'm looking at a Luikon, and yes, maybe a lot of people are talking about getting a linebacker early in this draft to pair up with him. And I think that's going to be done early in the draft. I don't think that's going to like go off the plan at all. But then you look at the secondary, we probably have an above average, like three corners at secondary at Shaq Griffin, Darius Williams, and what's the guy from Georgia last year? I'm forgetting his name.
Our Tyson corner. Campbell.
Tyson Campbell. Thank you. So like to have three guys that I trust can play those positions, as well as on the back end, Andre Sisco probably should play and start this year. We had trouble with him getting on the field last year, not because of his bad play or anything. And then Rayshon Jenkins. So I just feel like overall, it's not like, oh my gosh, we need to fill this position. This is a drastically like huge hole. Yes, we can always get bigger players, but questionably to me, the biggest hole might be that opposite defensive end spot, opposite Josh Allen. But at the end of the day, I feel like the defense was kind of turning a corner last year to being respectable, not 2017 by any means. But there's no outstanding huge hole that I feel like needs to be addressed.
No, I like it. Great explanation. And I hope everyone out there listening can kind of understand what Jacob's saying there. And you kind of talked me into believing the case you're making, because you're right. You said a lot of names that I believe in and that I trust. And I like how you brought up Darius Williams, a free agent signing that kind of happened about a week into free agency. Wasn't anything. It wasn't a big splash play, but Darius Williams, Jacksonville native, played high school football right up the street at Bartram Trail, only about 25 miles from the stadium, so very close to home for him. Was drafted by the Ravens, barely saw the field, got picked up by the Rams, and started 36 games, I think, in his last three seasons. So he was a guy that was reliable. The Rams had him playing on the field often, and he just didn't get much love, obviously, with Jalen Ramsey on the other side of him. Going to take a lot of the spotlight. So if you're playing, honestly, being the corner opposite to Jalen Ramsey is almost more difficult than just being a corner, because you know people are going to attack you. So I like the idea that Darius Williams is probably an above average player that was on a fantastic defense. He just didn't get as much spotlight on him. But you mentioned the edge position there as a hole for us. Let's dive right into the NFL draft. We sit at the number one pick. We've been on the clock since we beat the Colts in week 17 that knocked them, or week 18, I guess, that knocked them out of the playoffs. And wasn't that a beauty? Wasn't that a joy for Jags fans all over the place to see the Colts season crumble that way? We've been on the clock for a while with plenty of time to figure out what we want to do. Yet In the weekend press conference, Trent Baalke sits up there at the stand and with a smile on his face says, "We're still in the process. We're between four guys." Where are we at, guys?
I mean, do you want me to go?
Oh, anyone jump
in. Him knows the four guys.
Yeah, I think we all know the four guys. We got, you know, let's see. We got Evan Neal, I think. We got Ike Ekwonu, who the Jags are really high on. We got Aiden Hutchinson, and we got Trevon Walker from Georgia. And all those guys, I mean, are going to fit and play really well for us. And it's a question of, you know, who stands up above the others. I mean, it seems like Trent is kind of valuing all these guys in the same place. So then, you know, what do you do as far, you know, from a team building standpoint, which guy are you going to go with?
Dang.
Yeah. And I guess
you think those are the four guys.
Yeah, no, I actually
you don't even think you don't I even know. Think Thibodeau is in there.
No, absolutely not. Thibodeau is not in the Jags.
And why do you think? Why do you say he's not in there?
He's not in there because the team's looking for good players and good people, according to Doug Peterson in the pre-draft press conference. So something he said, and Tibbs got a lot of red flags as far as his character, kind of like maybe a Jalen Ramsey type, and that, you know, he's got the talk, but can he walk the walk?
And if Jalen's really good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, if Jalen Ramsey wasn't very good and he was bringing that kind of attitude and negativity into the locker room, it wouldn't bring up the people around him. It would just kind of create something in the locker room I don't think the Jags are personally looking for. A lot of teams are definitely going to be high on this guy. A lot of teams are going to be off him for that exact reason.
I don't think that there's any question that he's probably a fantastic player and will go in the top five, top 10 at max. Will probably be a decent player in the NFL, if not above average, good player in the NFL. I think the biggest thing for me is when you're in a situation that the Jags are in with a first-time Jaguars head coach, obviously formerly with the Eagles, I think Doug Peterson needs to get a guy in that he can trust to kind of rally behind and not just have a guy come in and cause problems from day one, albeit a rookie defensive end that was drafted first overall, because some guys can take that opportunity being drafted first overall and use it as a, hey, let me prove why I deserve to be number one. Other guys can take it as a, how Dante Fowler kind of did when we gave the extension to Ngakoue. And he was like, well, I was the higher pick in the draft. I deserve to be on the field more. And it's like, dude, go out there and play for it. Like you have to put it on tape why you deserve more snaps than the other guys behind you or in front of you. And that's what scares me the most about Thibodeau. I don't want a guy to come in and automatically be a cancer in the locker room for a head coach that already has his work cut out with him, with a second year quarterback, a starting running back who we don't know when is going to return from his injury, and already a bunch of question marks all over the place as far as the roster goes. So that's kind of what keeps me away from Thibodeau. I do like the four that you mentioned. It does kind of surprise me a little bit with the Ike Ekwonu versus Evan Neal, comparison, because at this point, what is keeping them on the same line? I feel like at the end of the day, those two offensive linemen should be able to separate themselves during the process. So I'm trying to figure out why those two guys are still so closely in line at number one in the eyes of this organization.
I've heard it's a scheme fit for the Jags and what they're trying to do with the zone run, and that Ike is a better fit for them. Even though Evan Neal might be right up there as far as a score, you know, I think that the Jags are looking at their scheme and saying that this guy's going to be a better fit. So we'll see how the mock plays out. But Ike is definitely a player that the Jags have been looking at and that they've been rumored to take. His odds, actually, Vegas odds are a lot higher than Evan Neal's. If you think that Neal's going to be the pick, you can go right ahead and push that out. But I don't think that's what the Jags are thinking, and therefore the big money is not going to be in it either.
I like it. Well, let's go around real quick, around the horn, and just go through who we think the Jags are going to take at number one. We don't necessarily need an explanation now. Let's just get it all out there for what we think is going to happen at number one.
So it's not what we want. It's what we think the Jaguars front office wants. That's what we're doing here.
Do either. Say what you want Say what you want and say what you think the Jags are going to do.
All right, because it's definitely not going to be the same. But you know, mock draft, in my opinion, is what's going to happen on April 28th, Thursday night, with the sound going off, with the commissioner walking on stage. I want to know what's going to happen. I think a lot of our fans do too. I think a lot of our fans just want to know what's going to happen. They don't care about, you know, what Kit Kat wants or what Pougie wants. They want to know the future.
Sam, I just said, tell us what the Jags are going to do at number one in the draft. I'm telling you, what are the Jags going to do? Not what you're going to do. But thank you for expanding on it for the fans out there listening.
You didn't know. We're going to tell you who the Jags want, not what we want.
Yeah, thanks. Okay. Well, there you go.
It's different.
Well, Luke, let's start with your thoughts real quick. We had a good conversation about this, I think, a few days ago on the golf course and over some beers at a baseball game and talking about the NFL draft coming up. Oh, it was actually a week away on that Thirsty Thursday.
It was 1 week away. You're right. I personally would love to have Aiden Hutchinson, as we just talked about. We need another guy on the opposite side of Josh Allen. And you have a guy that is rated the number one guy for a reason. Everyone had him up there for so long. And then I don't know what happened. Maybe Walker had an insane combine and a workout warrior. Who knows? But I sent this in the group chat earlier. I think Trent Baalke's the kind of guy where he's in the room and he gets to make the final decision. And he likes to play that aspect and say, I'm smarter than everyone in here. You all want Hutchinson. Well, no, you're going to get Walker. And I just think it's going to be incorrect and wrong in the long run. I'll tell you here on NFL's own list, the highest graded person is Kyle Hamilton at 6.81. Right below that, Aiden Hutchinson at 6.8. I have to go down at least 12 people to find Trayvon Walker.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's
a lot of
pretty
people.
Much. That's a lot
the
of
whole defense.
All you need to know. That's mid defense. First round. That's early to mid first round.
Exactly. And when you're in the top 10, you almost have to hit on those guys. You can't waste the first overall trying to pick mid rounds. And I just think that if you look at production in college, that's a very important factor. Sometimes it doesn't play out on the NFL level, but I think it's a good leading indicator. And if you've played your entire career and have six sacks, and most of them came during like blitz packages where you're almost running freely, it doesn't look good.
Yeah, no, I agree. So here's what scares me too is at work, I sit next to an Alabama grad, Alabama season ticket holder fan. And I looked at a mock draft and I was watching a video and I said, wow, it looks like they have the Jags taking Trayvon Walker. And he said, oh, Trayvon Walker. Granted, the kid not in deep about college football or the NFL draft, yet Alabama played Georgia twice this year. And I said, oh, he's an edge guy out of Georgia. And he said, wait, what? We played them twice this year. How do I not know that name? And I said, exactly my point. Like, when you think of the Georgia defense, you said the first name that comes to mind is N'Kobe Dean. That's the guy that people were talking about following the championship game. That's the guy people were talking about coming out, but he plays linebacker, maybe not as sexy of a pick in the top 10, whatever the case is. That is what scares me, and those ratings that you put up scare me too. On top of that, well, I'll continue on after, but I want to get over to our mock draft professor, Mr. Sam over here. Or actually, let's go to Jacob first and wait for Sam last.
Let's let Sam destroy what I got to say.
Let's hear what Jacob has to say.
Take notes.
What? When did we franchise tagged Cam Robinson? Right? Did we not know that we had the first overall pick when we did that? Did we forget? So when you do that, in my eyes, when you know you get the first pick, it doesn't matter what you know anyone else does. That move tells me that they're probably not going to take one of those tackles unless they trade it out. And that would have to happen on draft night where someone decides to call for the first time, you know, this offseason. So I really think it's going to be one of the ends. And, you know, I feel like it's pick your, whatever you want. Do you want the really solid, the very solid looking, but like maybe like already polished enough, he's not going to get much better guy in Hutchinson? He's really good though. So don't get me wrong on that. Do you want Kayvon Thibodeau, who might have some red flags off the field, might have an ego. I mean, some of the best players defensively always have egos. But he looks freaky to me. He just looks like a freak on the defense. And I think sometimes that's what I love to see out of your superstars. And then Trayvon Walker, I don't even know his name. Cause like you said, I didn't hear about him until like a few weeks ago. So I feel like it's got to be Hutchinson or Kayvon Thibodeau. And like we've said, especially as Jaguar fans, we have to minimize risk. You want to hit the home run, but it's like Aiden Hutchinson has to be the guy because he's just very solid at everything he does. He seems like a team guy. He seems like a leader. I think that's going to be the pick, and I think we're not going to hate it because, you know, the range of outcomes for some of these other players might be too risky for the Jags to take at number one.
Spot on. You can't. You have to mitigate risk in these positions, and let's be clear. There's no situation where you're drafting a guy 100% knowing he's going to be a home run, and there's also no situation where you know you're drafting a guy that's going to be a dud. So you don't know what you're getting until a year in, a few weeks into training camp, whatever the case is. It kind of figures itself out pretty quickly. Once they're in your jersey and on your practice fields, you figure out what you got there. So the Jags, in my opinion, aren't in a position, like Luke said, to really try and find a steal of the draft with the first overall pick. It's that simple to me. You have the number one pick in the draft. We were in a position 5-6 years ago where we got Miles Jack in the second round. That could be considered a steal. We got Cam Robinson in the second round. That could be considered a steal.
Maurice Jones-Drew,
second round. That's a steal. Why is it that these second, third round guys like Yannick Ngakoue come in here and start to become the best players on the team, yet the guys in first round, the freaking Kalavon Chaisons and CJ Hendersons and Dante Fowlers, they can't hit on. And I know this is a different regime. This is different people running the ship, but I'm beginning to think it's just a Jaguar curse, a Jaguar stigma of not being able to do it right. Mock draft professor Sam, let's get to you.
Before we let Sam go, going back to these scores here. So if you turn on Next Gen Stats, I don't know if you care about Next Gen Stats or whatever. Hutchinson has a score of 95. Thibodeau has a score of 92. And I had to go all the way down to an 80 to find Trayvon Walker. And right below him is a player we know very well in Desmond Ridder at 79. So if you think Desmond Ridder, quality player, is going to improve the Jaguars, let me know.
Jesus, drop mic. All right, let's end the podcast on that. All right,
so I got Justin.
All right, well, before Sam, no, I'm kidding, Sam. I was just going to keep cutting you off.
No. So you got a lot of questions. You asking about, you know, why do these players come in the second and third rounds, and why do these players we keep taking in the first round? Why is the Dante Fowler pick, and then you take Yannick Ngakoue, and then Yannick's better. I'll tell you exactly why, and it's going to answer a lot of everyone's questions. These players are good, right? They might be even the best in the country, but they are the best in the country in college football. The GM's job is to find players and build the team around what's going to win and be successful in NFL football. And it's a lot different. You got the surefire pick in Aiden Hutchinson. The man had the most sacks in Michigan football history. Second place in the Heisman, where the only defensive player to win the Heisman Trophy was Barry Sanders. Aiden Hutchinson gets second place. Pretty good player, right? The guy comes off the edge. He's explosive. He can get into the body of the defender. He can go around the defender. So you wonder, you know, what is Trent Baalke thinking? Why not just take the surefire leader in the locker room, you know, according to Michigan players and staff, legendary in the weight room as the leader, bona fide number one player on the Jags defense, and pair him up with Trevor Lawrence on the offense, and our team is disgusting for decades. Right. It would be obvious. I mean, that's who Shad Khan wants. I saw a poll today on Jags Twitter. That's who 70% of Jags Twitter wants, too. But college production does not always translate to NFL. So I could totally see the board coming out on Trent Baalke's list. Trayvon Walker ends up being number one. He says, why am I going to listen to this? I'm going to take Trayvon Walker number one.
Okay, Fair enough. You're saying
a lot of reasons too. A lot of reasons. Trayvon Walker, you know, you guys say, oh, he's a nobody, and then the combine, he just explodes, and now he's all of a sudden. Well, Daniel Jeremiah had Trayvon Walker as a top five pick before the combine. So I should tell you that scouts and GMs were looking at this guy a long time before the combine. And then the combine happens, and this dude is in the 95th percentile of DNs coming out with his athleticism score and his measurables. I mean, this is a guy who translates to the NFL, and I think that that's what the new regime is trying to build, a solid core of talented, good football players. And I think that Trayvon Walker is going to be the pick personally. He might not be exactly what I would do, but of course, you know, what we would do obviously ain't working. So I'm down to try some new things.
And, you know, I think that's a great point that you made, Sam, for anybody that listens to this, is that we're always listening to as fans, the guys on TV. And you know what the guys do on TV? They work on TV. They don't work in an NFL front office. There's a reason they're doing what they do. So, like, we're always hearing their top guys, but it always happens every year where the actual drafters, they have their own big boards, and like, we see, oh my gosh, I can't believe this team did that. This team like passed on them. No, they probably didn't pass on anybody, or they probably didn't do anything crazy. They just did what the actual football people expected them to. So I definitely think the case for Walker is there. He's definitely got the size. I think he outdoes Thibodeau. I think he just comes in a bit bigger than even Aiden Hutchinson. And so when you talk about the NFL, just a bunch of big guys in the trenches. So you definitely need size.
It's a common case of untapped potential versus a polished piece that you already see. And Aiden Hutchinson is someone that has on film exploded, and he was a massive Cinderella guy through his senior year of college and exploded onto the scene, and everyone fell in love with him. And Trayvon Walker is the guy that has the intangibles. He's got the size, the athleticism, all that great stuff, but he didn't put anything on film as far as the scouts and people were concerned early enough in his career at Georgia to warrant a number one pick. Goes to the combine, absolute workout warrior, becomes a top five projected. Sam mentioned Daniel Jeremiah already had him as a top five player, so that at least makes me feel a little bit better about it. But it makes me wonder if Trayvon Walker is too risky of a play versus Aiden Hutchinson. Because here's the deal. If you draft Aiden Hutchinson and he's a bust, no one's going to look back and say, well, you shouldn't have taken Aiden Hutchinson. But if you take Trayvon Walker and he's a bust, then everyone's going to say, well, look what you passed up.
Yeah. So yeah, that doesn't matter to me. To me, you take the best player and okay, say, you know, you take Aiden Hutchinson and then Trayvon Walker ends up being the best player. It's like you can say the same exact thing. You're trying to project college stats into the NFL, and time and time again, it's simply just not like there's no use in doing it. There's no use in trying to count up, you know, sacks and stuff. You know, they were asked to do two completely different things. So I don't get this, you know, oh, Aiden Hutchinson, the surefire number one thing, when in a draft where nobody can decide what the surefire number one pick is. Like, so, I mean, it's not like Trayvon Walker is, you know, projected by some teams to be their, like, you know, eighth or 10th best player in the draft. Everyone has this guy either in their number one or number two or number three player in the draft. It's not like the Jags are coming out of left field and being like, oh, this guy's, you know, for us, he's our number one. A lot of teams have this guy highly ranked, and it's just about what you want to do for your football team. I mean, if you can trade back, which Balky's been trying to do, I mean, if you have four guys and they're all equally rated, sure, you can trade back and try to, you know, play the draft a little bit. But if you're stuck at number one, I don't see why you would take a guy who a lot of people are saying is better when in your mind, you know, he's a higher ranked player and measures out to be a slam dunk in the NFL. I mean, at Georgia, he wasn't asked to do a lot of things that Aiden Hutchinson was asked to do, you know, just line up on the edge and just fire off and go after the quarterback. Georgia kind of, what I've heard, plays a little bit of a all around defense. They play the run, the pass, they play, you know, everything kind of as a core. So you're going to see this guy, you know, in his job, do his job and not really, you know, just bust around the corner like they just made Aiden Hutchinson do, or told him, you know, go get him. So, and for the Jags, I think, especially in our 3-4 scheme, I think we're looking for a player that's a little bit more versatile in that, you know, you have the guy we got out of LSU a couple years ago. You know, we wanted him to be the versatile guy. We wanted him to be able to drop back and then come off the edge, but hasn't really panned out. I think we're looking for a guy on the edge who can maybe draw back in coverage, maybe just go after the quarterback. And shoot, this guy almost reminds me almost of a DeForest Buckner, in that you can get him, you know, up to size, and you can move him inside and have him go after the quarterback. Then you got, you know, all three of your pass rushers coming in on third down. It's just, to me, what the Jags are trying to do, it's starting to make a lot more sense to me why they're going to lean Trayvon Walker instead of this kid, you know, who's really good in college. But I mean, do his traits and his measurables really what the Jags are looking for? And we can get into, you know, what measurables, you know, Balky is looking for in his defensive end, and how Aiden Hutchinson's, you know, a monster. But, you know, everyone talks about this dude's arm length is in the bottom 6th percentile. Trayvon Walker's is in the 90th percentile. So it's just such a difference in player that, you know, we're looking for, that I almost want to say that is going to put Walker above Hutchinson's eyes in the eyes of our front offense. Maybe not Shad Khan's eyes, but I think everyone can echo the statement that we want Shad Khan to stay away of the football operations and kind of take a more, you know, take a more distant, I guess, approach to owning the Jags. But that's just my opinion. You know, I think Aiden Hutchinson would be a great player for the locker room, but you know, if you're at number one, you want to get the best guy in the draft. And I think that, you know, the Trayvon Walker's, I think
you know
that he's at least a one or two guy, right? I mean, we can come away from that.
Here's what I want to do, though. I want to piggyback off of what you said, because I think Aiden Hutchinson, to a lot of people, is that safe player. And, you know, I don't like going safe. I don't want to get a guy. We're not a team that we just need a safe player. So I do kind of agree with you on some of these things about Walker. He's a bigger player, like weight-wise. He's a faster player. I just looked it up, had no idea. He ran a 4.51 at the combine, yeah, compared to Hutchinson, who ran a 4.74. I don't need a player. I don't need a rookie defensive end to take care of my locker room. That's what we got Doug Peterson for. And Doug Peterson is in charge. I don't think we don't have a Doug Marrone, a Mike Mularkey, a Gus Bradley guy anymore. We have a Super Bowl winning head coach who's done it before. He's handled locker rooms and he's done it well. So to get the high upside, like, character guy is, like, not a big deal to me. That's why, like, Thibodeau is not necessarily off my board. I'm, like, buying in on Trayvon Walker right now, Sam. Maybe it's the mock draft professor in you, but, I mean, like, you're feeding me what I need to hear. And I just think, as the Jags, you don't need to go safe. I said that you need to go safe, but I completely changed my mind after that, because, you know, what are you going to get out of, you know, a guy that might be a solid, you know, 10 to 12 sack player every year?
Yeah, dare,
you know, he could turn into more.
Dare I say it, Sam may have talked me into something. I'll fall asleep tonight and wake up and feel probably the same way tomorrow how I felt before the podcast. But for a short period of time, Sam, you can come away knowing that you slightly changed my mind something. So we'll give you that. But I am going to look at this. So there's this statistic called sacks year projections, the 2022 sacks year projections, which pretty much take into account all defensive linemen, edge rushers that got invited to the NFL combine, and they take all their stats and they compare them to the historical data available to all the other players at that position that were also invited to the NFL combine. And out of those projections, Trayvon Walker is ranked number one at 89.7%. So he is almost in the top 10% of all historical data. And he's the top guy. So it's not like there's another guy that outdid him there. And just below him is Kevon Thibodeau at 86%. And then Aiden Hutchinson is actually down at fourth at 84.5%. So, I mean, percentages, statistics, they are what they are. I think tape obviously has to get taken into it as well. I'll be honest, I didn't watch enough Trayvon Walker. Probably when we finish recording this, maybe I'll watch some of his highlights just to see what he can do. I also think another important thing to note is, yeah, Michigan was a good team, all that stuff, but Trayvon Walker was, you know, on the national championship team. He's got that winning culture embedded in him at this point based on his senior year, his last year of college ball. And he probably had a lot of players around him that were maybe stealing some of that spotlight to where the common college football fan wasn't going to know his name, because you had other guys around him that people were talking about, whether it was defensive backs, whether it was Jordan Davis in the middle, who a lot of us aren't talking about in the draft, N'Kobe Dean at linebacker. I feel like this guy just got buried, and he might be that diamond in the rough that the Jaguars take at number one that turns out to be the next great thing. And that's all we can hope for if he does end up getting picked.
I'll voice my opinion how I think a big character guy in the locker room on the defensive side of the ball is very important for us. When you think back of Jaguar teams that were amazing, we had really great defenses. We also had a guy that was a leader in the locker room, Posluszny, Calais Campbell. I mean, we had guys that everyone could like gather around and be a guy that everyone loves in the locker room, and they want him on the field because he produces and he leads the team. So I think if he was being highly touted in Michigan for being a leader, for being a legend in that locker room, obviously guys just gravitate to him, and he obviously makes plays on the tape side. So when you think back to the Jaguars teams of old, we always had a guy that was a team leader on the defense. You knew who he was, Posluszny, Calais Campbell, Miles Jack was a very liked guy. I mean, we need somebody. We can't just have a bunch of random guys, because I don't think we have a leader at this point on the defense.
No, and we saw the defensive drop-off when Posluszny retired. We saw the direct impacts of that. I think we saw it first, obviously, with the team having to move Miles Jack to the inside. That was like the first big mistake, because Posluszny left. They didn't have another middle linebacker. They move him inside. Then everything started going downhill from there. So I completely agree. I think it's important to have some of those key character guys in the locker room to be there to rally around. Now, as far as would Aiden Hutchinson as a rookie demand the same amount of respect as Trevor Lawrence did as a rookie, that's where I'm kind of hesitant, because it's a completely different position. You're looking at the number one overall pick quarterback, the face of the franchise, versus the number one overall pick defensive end. Are there going to be some guys on the defensive side of the ball that maybe think, okay, this rookie's got to earn his stripes before he gets the respect from us? A lot of people, when Trevor Lawrence came in, they were immediately on board with him. They saw his work ethic and all that good stuff, but he was also in a position to lead the team. And maybe Aiden Hutchinson's the guy that'll lead the team on the defensive side of the ball in the long term. I'm also just really frustrated by the fact that the Jaguars never seem to want to build around their franchise quarterbacks, even if they didn't turn into franchise quarterbacks. I'm sick and tired of the team not drafting pieces to put around their quarterbacks, and it started back with Blaine Gabbert. It continued with Blake Bortles, who I don't think those guys were ever going to become anything overly amazing. We saw Blake Bortles win two playoff games for us, and that was great. Led us to the AFC Championship. Fantastic stuff. But at the end of the day, the only offensive player the team drafted after Luke Jokel in 2012, the only offensive player we drafted in the first round was Leonard Fournette. And he was drafted specifically to take the ball out of Blake Bortles' hands. Everyone else we drafted was a defensive player to try and – it was almost like they said, instead of building around the offense to score more points, let's build around the defense, since we know our offense can only score 17 points a game. And – that's what the strategy was when they would draft, and it frustrated the hell out of me, and it still does. So with that being said, I'm going to make the case for Evan Neal real quick, because I think Evan Neal needs to be the pick here. Jacob knows I have a soft spot for offensive linemen. I think Evan Neal played at the best college football program in the country, and he has a lot to offer to this franchise. And the thing I love most about offensive linemen is a lot of them can play multiple positions. And if he doesn't pan out at left tackle, first and foremost, you always have a backup opportunity with him at right tackle. We see Jawan Taylor right now playing right tackle for the Jaguars. Could Evan Neal be an upgrade there? Could he go inside somehow and play guard? Is that where we could end up putting him down the line? And I think Trevor Lawrence would look at that pick as a confidence boost of the team putting something around him to protect him. Because he made the offensive line look good last year. Trevor Lawrence was scrambling, quick releases when he had to. He made the offensive line look a lot better than they were because of how good of a quarterback he is. So could you imagine if he had an offensive line like Peyton Manning had back in the day, when he was in the pocket for 3.5 seconds and able to throw it to Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison, or how Aaron Rodgers has had over the last decade, where they just kept loading up on offensive linemen to make sure he was protected? Or the Patriots, when they had At one point, the Patriots had five Pro Bowl offensive linemen that were all drafted by the Patriots. Like, that is unbelievable. And you look at how good he has gotten over the years and obviously is now the greatest of all time to ever do it. It all starts, I think, with the protection and the quarterback being able to take his time in the pocket. Evan Neal would be my pick personally. I want Evan Neal. I think the cream rises to the top. I think the best offensive line players separate themselves during training camp, during practice, and the best ones find their way onto the field. If you draft Aiden Hutchinson or you draft Trevon Walker and they don't pan out, you have very little room to move them. This is not a situation where they can be like, oh, well, they're not that good on the edge. Let's move them inside. Defensive players have very niche skills, or niche skills, however you say it. They have very niche skills. Offensive linemen, if you can block and you can move your feet, you can learn how to play inside, outside, whatever you want to do. You can figure that out. I think the safe pick, you're talking about Hutchinson, I think the safest pick of all is taking an offensive lineman, and that's why I think it should be Evan Neal.
Now, I will say that for the most part, you can't just take tackles and throw them inside. Like, that doesn't just work. But with Evan Neal, he at least has the actual experience doing it. And I think that's an interesting thought process a lot of people have had, is like, okay, you take Evan Neal, we have the whole Cam Robinson situation. You know, he signed his tender now, so it looks like he's playing on the tag. But like, playing Evan Neal at left guard and maybe moving on from Cam, like, next offseason, moving him to tackle again, then we have our first overall tackle. I just find it hard to think that that's the capital they're going to spend on a guard when we did already sign the franchise tag on Cam. And like, if we didn't have Cam, then I feel like we'd go him. But I feel like they knew we were going to have the first pick. They would have said, you know, go ahead and walk, because we know we can go get Evan Neal. But yes, like, I do think that would be the greatest idea, is to like build around Trevor. I'm just a little wary of the idea of them doing it when they've already put other money towards their left tackle.
And what sucks is that there's not like a Jamar Chase in this draft. Like, there's not like there's a wide receiver that we can say, okay, maybe we won't take him at one, but let's trade back and take him because that's who we're going after. There's a lot of players available that are at positions of need, but none of them stand above the rest. It's not like there's a Myles Garrett in the draft or Jadeveon Clowney, which is both a great and a bad thing. There's not an obvious pick because all the players seem to be fairly similar in terms of comparison as value of what the team sees them at. So it almost feels safe knowing if the team feels four players are all around the same caliber, you have a feeling that the odds of hitting on one of the four is going to be a little bit higher than having to find, you know, put all your eggs in a superstar and then maybe have him plummet. Because right now, as excited as I was for last draft taking Trevor Lawrence, we knew that was the pick for 2 months, 4 months after the Jags secured the number one pick. Right now, I'm really excited because I don't think anyone knows what's going to happen from number one all the way through number 10. But unless there's anything else about the Jags, let's get into that real quick for the last part of the show. Anything else about the Jags at number one, fellas?
I do have a quick, like, fun little question that I wanted everybody to answer. Hypothetically, you know, it doesn't seem in the cards, but hypothetically, if we were able to trade out, what's everyone's, like, dream, not trade out scenario, but their dream player to get, should we be able to trade down for them and get some extra picks?
Okay.
I think mine would be Jameson Williams, personally. I don't know where we'd have to trade down to, what we'd get in return. But when you talk about building around Trevor, we need receivers. And if we could get Jameson Williams where it's not, you know, an awful price to have spent, like, the number one overall pick, I just think that'd be a fun thing to do. And that would get me excited. I didn't know if anyone else had similar situations.
I'd like to trade down to number two, because the Lions really like Aiden Hutchinson. We convince them that, you know, we're taking him, right? And if you guys want him, you got to trade up. And then we really get our player that we really want down at two with Trevon Walker. I think we already, I think Trent Baalke already kind of blew his cover on that one, but that would be pretty sweet. I don't know.
All right. So for me, Jacob, if I'm going to play the fun trade back dream scenario, we all know this guy very well. We know his name very well. My fun trade back scenario would be trading back to like number nine, letting the Seahawks trade up and draft their quarterback that they want ahead of potentially the Texans or the the Lions, even whoever might take a quarterback, the Panthers. And at 9, taking Sauce Gardner if he happens to be there. Now, I don't know if he would fall that far to number 9 because it does look like there's some teams ahead of him. Falcons could easily take him. The Giants have 2 picks. They could easily spend a pick on him. But this is a guy that went from like a late first round grade to a top 10 grade overnight. And very similar to Trevon Walker, actually, as far as the growth in his draft stock, he shot up the ranks big time. I remember his freshman year at Cincinnati, watching him play against, at that point, I think it was Dylan Gabriel's freshman year against UCF, and he shut down the UCF offense, handed the Knights like their first conference loss, I think, in 3 seasons. He shut us down, and it didn't stop there. He continued to dismantle the American Athletic Conference week in and week out against opponents every week. And he did it against some really good opponents this year in Notre Dame and even Power 5 Indiana, who they're supposed to be good, but they went 2-10, but they're in the Power 5, so they have to be good, right? He did it against really good talent across the board. I would say Sauce Gardner, for me, would be fun. I think it'd be great to pair him up there in the secondary with Darius Williams and those guys.
Yo.
I was going to say Sauce Gardner as well.
Yeah.
Two votes.
Yeah, as UCF guys, I mean, we knew anytime we played Cincinnati, their secondary was like lockdown. It was a no-fly zone. And Sauce Gardner's been on that team since, 2018, right? So, I mean, anytime we played Cincinnati, it was always scary because that lockdown D in the secondary. And I also saw somewhere like Sauce Gardner is the perfect guy you want as a DB because he's in the locker room. He's first in, last out, and he has such a good work ethic that the coaches love him, teammates love him. So I think as a DB, you kind of get a lot of divas, Jalen Ramsey, a la. So I would love Sauce Gardner or even Kyle Hamilton out of Notre Dame.
So I'm really happy. Kyle Hamilton. Really happy you said Kyle Hamilton. I wish there was much more of a need at safety for us, because that would be the fun trade back too, is trading back to take Kyle Hamilton, because I think
Kyle Hamilton might, and Andre Sisco would be
I'll tell y'all where Kyle Hamilton's going. He's going number 12 to the Texans, staying in our division since they just got rid of Justin Reed. They got rid of that guy. They're bringing in Kyle Hamilton at the 12th pick, and that is going to be unfortunate for us, but it'll be cool to kind of see him in the division. That's who I think is going to take him. Texans trying to build that that solid defense would be disgusting there since they have a need for it.
Well, could you it didn't be the tell
Jets
us
replacing Adams.
Ooh,
at number 4.
At number 4,
is Luke the new mock draft professor?
The Jets got a lot of needs. Though.
They do have a lot of needs, but they just traded away Jamal Adams, who is
Kyle Hamilton. Their stud.
4 is a little rich.
Would Kyle Hamilton get past 10?
In my mock draft, we'll just have to see, gentlemen. I have the board right in front of me. My players lined up.
Let's jump into it. Sam, hit it.
All right, so with the number 1 overall pick in the NFL draft, the Jaguars are going to take Trevon Walker out of Georgia. For the Jags fans everywhere, you see him in the crowd. They're doing the mooch. They're going, boo, who's this guy? We've never heard of him. But the more and more I think about this, and I will say that Vegas thinks so too as of this morning, I think Trevon Walker is going to be the pick. I think, you know, you go back a year to the 2021 draft, day 2 comes along. Tyson Campbell suddenly shooting up the ranks in the NFL odds. Somebody heard something. Somebody knows something that Tyson Campbell is going to be the pick. Vegas starts going crazy. Well, this morning, Monday, the 25th.
Correct.
Vegas is saying that we're taking Trevon Walker, and it's apparently, according to FanDuel analysts, it's the big money coming in for Trevon Walker at number 1 that he's going to be the pick. So, you know, in the pre-draft presser on Friday, you know, Balky said he was going to, you know, take the weekend. They were going to look at their players. They were going to come back on Monday, see if the draft board had changed at all while they were gone. I think that someone somewhere knows that that's going to be the pick. And for all the reasons I said, I think he's going to be a great pick for the Jags. Everyone talking, oh, you know, in Hutchinson, he's the surefire. He's going to be the man. Well, tell me why Trayvon Walker is ranked extremely highly for all the teams, not just the Jags. I doubt that Trayvon Walker would make it past five at the New York Giants. You're talking about a bona fide top five pick in a draft where there's not really a number one. You go out and you take your player that you think is going to be the best for your football team. He's got the Shaq Griffin endorsement on defense already. To me, that's enough. You don't hear Shaq Griffin talking about the Aiden Hutchinson boy. You know, he really tears it up. It's because it's college. These guys know that it doesn't matter what you did. Like, it matters what's going to come in and who's going to be the best fit for your football team. I think personally, and I think Vegas knows as well, it's going to be Trayvon Walker for the Jags. The boos are still coming in, but the Balky, he doesn't care, and I'm glad for it. It's going to be Walker, and I'm really excited to have him on the team for the Jags.
Here you go, Sam. Sam, here you go. Here are the odds. Can you guys see these?
And there it is. 60% Trayvon Walker, 40% Hutchinson at this moment is what I've heard. Percentage. So
here are the first round or first overall pick odds for those watching on YouTube. You're able to see this right now. We have Trayvon Walker at minus 190, which for those out there that don't know, that means you have to bet $190 to win $100. So he is the clear favorite here. And when you win $100, the payout would then be $290 to you. You're gaining $100. So $190 to win $100. Second, you have Aiden Hutchinson plus 200. That means you bet $100 to win $200. So the payout there would then be $300. You'd be getting $300 back into your pocket for Aiden Hutchinson there. What? And then what?
That makes no sense. You just said I was going to get $290 for Trayvon. And
no,
now
you're getting $100. You're getting $100. You have to bet $190 for Trayvon to win $100.
Ah.
So these odds are almost identical, like flipped.
Your payout is $100 on the Trayvon Walker, but your payout is $200 on profit
versus revenue, my guy. Come on.
Yeah, your positive gain on Trayvon Walker would be $100 if you bet $190. Your positive gain on Aiden Hutchinson would be $200 if you bet $100. So you're betting $90 less to make $100 more, which is why he's an underdog.
Okay, it still makes absolutely no sense to me, but I'm not a gambling man. I heard that's a different podcast that you might be doing. But hey, you know, that's not for the kids. We don't talk about that. All I know is that this morning, the big boys, the big money came in, and they started putting their money on Trayvon Walker. Same thing that happened last year for Tyson Campbell. All of a sudden, the second, you know, the morning hit, it was Tyson Campbell all the way for God knows what reason. Somebody somewhere knows something. It's going to be Walker, unless this is just a massive smoke screen by Trent Baalke in the front office. And we all know how tight that ship is. So you can either bet on that being a tight ship up there, or you can bet on the Jags, you know, taking Trayvon Walker. My money's on Walker. Might as well take your whatever $190 and cash it in, you know, put it on something else at this point, because that's going to be the pick. Anyways, let's go. Second pick, you got the Detroit Lions. You got Detroit Lions.
Oh, my God, does he have every hat? Oh, jeez, man.
Detroit, you know, a couple minutes into their pick, they walk up, they take Aiden Hutchinson, their number one player on their board, you know, and they're laughing all the way. They were hoping that, you know, that he was going to be there. And for them, they, you know, Dan Campbell kind of gets that hoorah player on defense that – and they pair up really well, I think. And they that's a huge need for the Lions. And they're going to go Hutchinson, and he's going to look really good there and give them a lot of sacks. Moving on to the Texans. The Texans are going to keep going with that Lovie Smith Texans attitude. They're going to build from the inside out and take Ikem Ekwonu out of NC State as their number one tackle prospect. Laremy Tunsil, I heard, is on his way out the door. You move this guy in, a surefire number one left tackle, freaking road grader, moving guys out of the way. This guy's a beast, and he's the number one tackle for a lot of teams, not just the Texans. And then you go Jets, and here's where y'all's love child comes. comes the boy you guys love, Sauce Gardner, coming off the board at number four to the Jets. Yeah, they're going to take best player available. Can't miss prospect in him. 100% gangster. He was texting Jalen Ramsey, apparently, before the Super Bowl. You know, you don't know this, Jacob. Before the Super Bowl, Sauce Gardner was giving Jalen Ramsey tips on how to shut down the opposing corner. They have a really good relationship. Those two players talk a lot, and I can totally see it. Sauce Gardner is the kind of same mold coming out. Extremely lengthy, attacks the football. Baller in the locker room and on the field. Nobody would even throw at him against Cincinnati. They were always looking at the other guys. Alabama, the game where they were playing them in the championship. You know, you got to see a little bit of Sauce Gardner versus Jamison Williams, your favorite wide receiver, Jacob. So that was a good battle. If you want to go back on YouTube, watch that battle. I'll have to say that Jamison got pretty shut down on that one. He had to go to the other side to get any work. But moving on, that's one of my favorite players too. I like Sauce. He's obviously number one corner on the board, and I think he separates himself a little bit from the other guys. Moving to the Giants. The Giants are going to build around their offensive line. They're going to take, on my board, Evan Neal, the prospect out of Alabama, as the number two tackle. Good player, really good player, very versatile, very athletic, 6'7", 360, something disgusting like that, 330, I don't know. He's huge. You should go type into YouTube right now, Evan Neal box jump, and you're going to be amazed at what this guy can do athletically at 300 plus pounds. It's something to see. Moving on, you got
Sam,
Carolina.
Real quick, Sam, what? I got to stop you real quick. For those out there that are not watching on YouTube, or I guess no one would have seen this. It was a private chat. Jacob wants to put money on Kayvon Thibodeau for the number one pick simply after seeing the odds, which is a very smart value betting man. If you were to put 10 bucks on Kayvon Thibodeau, you'd win 500 bucks. And in a situation where no one knows what the Jags are going to do.
That's what I'm saying, man.
10 bucks on Thibodeau for 500. You could put 10 bucks on Evan Neal at number one for 250. What's interesting, real quick, about the odds, I do want to say this. We are finished off with top five, Evan Neal to the Giants. Is Ikem Ekwonu is plus 500. Aiden Hutchinson is plus 200. And for those out there that know betting, know just how close those odds actually are to each other. There's not much of a difference there. Obviously, there isn't a payout. But when you're looking at the odds and it goes minus 190, plus 200, plus 500, and then fourth is plus 2,500, that tells me that the three players, oh man, look at that box jump.
Dude, he does a split when he does it.
That could have ended so badly.
360.
Both ACLs.
That's two of me.
That's crazy. Anyway, I would say the odds at the top of the board lead me to believe at this moment, obviously Trevon Walker's the favorite, but it seems like the Jags maybe could go any of those three ways. For example, last year, Trevor Lawrence's odds for the number one pick were minus 1,500. So to win $100, you had to put $1,500 down just to win $100. This year, the favorite is not even at minus 200. So just food for thought. So we went Hutchinson to the Lions after the Jaguars take Walker, Ekwonu to the Texans, Sauce Gardner to the Jets, Evan Neal to the Giants, and Sam, continue after I just grandstanded you there a little bit. Sorry about that.
The Panthers
at number six.
No, and it's good observation. And moving on, the Panthers are going to take they're going to stay and take their number two tackle on the board, which is Charles Cross. Everyone's got themselves, you know, projected for, you know, a quarterback in this position. I don't see them in a position to take, you know, a rookie quarterback, in that these coaches know that if they don't put some wins on the board this season, that they are not going to be around much longer. So are you going to take a developmental guy for the next guy to come along? Or are you going to do everything you can to have Sam Darnold succeed in this offense? So I think that they're going to take their second best tackle, and there's kind of a drop off after these three guys, you got Icky, you got Evan Neal, and then you got Charles Cross as the bona fide top three. I think that they go ahead and then they take that and solidify their offensive line.
Sam, real quick, I'm glad you mentioned that because a lot of times in the draft, we won't see as big of a drop-off in offensive tackle from third or fourth guy to the seventh or eighth guy. It's a lot closer, relatively speaking. This year, after those three guys who are all projected to be top eight picks, the fourth guy on the board is ranked 18th as a prospect, Bernhard Rainman, which is actually a great name, out of Central Michigan. And he's projected to be 25th overall, late first round. You only have three guys remaining on the board that are projected to be first round picks, likely leak into the second round. After that, everyone's projected 56th overall, 77th overall, 85th overall. So there is not just a drop off. There's a huge drop off in tackle after Charles Cross. So just want to put that out there.
It's all about supply and demand, baby. I mean, you got the supply. You got three dudes and you have a bunch of teams who like to bolster their offensive line. So, you know, Carolina's thinking, man, we need to take our guy here. We don't need a developmental prospect. Everyone's saying the QB class is weak. It's true. So why take a guy that you think is a late first rounder all the way up at six, even though you might like him a lot, even though he might pair really well with Matt Rhule? There's a Temple connection there. I think that it's just a little too rich for them in a win now situation. So, that's a good point to note. You know, it might not be the top player on everyone's board, but when these tackles are gone, you know, you're looking at more of like a not really a bust, but you're looking at a guy who's not going to come in and be a surefire thing. So, Carolina takes their tackle and solidifies that offensive line. You're going into the Giants with their second pick. I think if any team wanted to move up and kind of take a quarterback, I mean, this is kind of the pick that you'd be looking at. The Giants already took their number one tackle in Evan Neal. But if they had to stay here, I think they're going to stay inside and take an edge rusher in Jermaine Johnson out of FSU. Big pick here. Jermaine Johnson's kind of projected in, you know, maybe the double digits in the 10 to 20 round. Giants are sitting here at seven and they're saying, you know, we need an edge guy. This is our next guy. And we think he's pretty good. Why trade back or why, you know, pass on this guy when he's ranked this highly on our board? So maybe a little bit rich for him, but let's go ahead and take him since the need is there. And it's a position that's really going to help the Giants. So moving on to Atlanta, this team was last in sacks last year. So with Jermaine Johnson off the board, I mean, who are you looking at? Well, you're looking at Kayvon Thibodeau out of Oregon, you know, a really good player, a lot of red flags on that team. Let's think about who we got in the Falcons. You got Arthur Davis, I believe, is the head coach. Yeah. The old, you know, offensive coach for the Titans. So let's see what the Titans do really well. Their defensive line is full of big bodies, big studs. I think you can see where I'm going here. They're going to take the defensive tackle out of Georgia. Jordan Davis. This guy is an athletic freak. You pair him up with Grady Jarrett. Grady Jarrett, more kind of a leaner guy, kind of like a finesse guy. You put in Jordan Davis, and this guy's disgusting in his measurables and his 40 time and his desire to, you know, play well. He's on the championship team. You got another Georgia guy coming off that line here at eight, who's going to fill a huge need for the Atlanta Falcons and put pressure in the run game and in the passing game, kind of what the Titans do really well with the Jeffrey Simmons, you know, plugging up those holes, taking two guys, but also you can get them on moves, around your other guys and get them to the quarterback. So I think that's a really strong pick. I feel really good about that pick to the Falcons. And then you move into Seattle. And I know a lot of people got the quarterback going here, and honestly, you know, it could happen. But I'm going to stick with the thought that this quarterback class, you know, it's not very strong. You've been hearing it all offseason. So why use a top 10 pick on a guy that, you know, might be a developmental guy, might be, you know, a later round guy? I mean, you saw Lamar Jackson go at 32. So Malik Willis, I mean, to take him at nine, you're really trying to project this guy into being a starter for your team. Kind of what happened with Trey Lance last year. You know, he's got the speed. He's a dual threat guy. But, I mean, is he ready to start this year? I mean, so let's go with the connection. Let's go with the connection out of LSU. Ed Oregon's up in Oregon now. Oregon and the Seattle Seahawks are really close. Pete Carroll and Ed Oregon are close. And I'm going to go with a Derek Stingley out of LSU as the second cornerback taken, a player that a lot of teams think is a shutdown guy and who graded out extremely well at his pro day after coming off injury.
And Sam, real quick, Ed Orgeron, I know you were saying that as a joke, but for those out there that don't know, Ed Orgeron, the former coach at LSU,
Ed Oregon,
Sam's drawing the connection there in the Pacific Northwest with Ed Oregon and the Seattle Seahawks and the relationship between Pete Carroll and Ed.
They have a close connection. Oregon and Carroll have a really strong connection. So, I mean, I know that they're talking. Derek Stingley was a piece on that team for as long as Orgeron was around. So, in my opinion, they're talking. And that's going to be the pick. You see those later, you know, that 8th, 9th, 10th pick, you kind of see that second quarterback going off the board, kind of like CJ Henderson did, a guy who's really good. A lot of teams have ranked extremely high. I've seen, you know, him going to the Texans almost as high as 3, but you know, this guy was really good in 2019. You know, he hasn't played as well. So there's some red flags on him for sure, but and he's coming off injury, but at his pro day, you know, he looked like the real deal. And I could see the Seahawks bolstering up that secondary. So and then you get to number 10, the Jets, to finish out our top 10. They're going to be taking Jacobs, number one wide receiver, Jameson Williams at number 10. Really good player. Really got the afterburners, man. When he gets the ball, that guy is off to the races. You pair him up with Zach Wilson and that offense, an offense that doesn't necessarily have to win now. They have a coach and a GM. They have a Robert Saleh and their GM. They're around for the long haul, I think. And so they can kind of take a developmental player, not developmental in that he's the number one wide receiver in this class, but coming off that ACL in the playoffs, this is a player that, you know, might not get to play until the less, you know, the later half of the season. So, but he is the number one guy. And so they're going to use that number 10 pick on him and kind of start a run on wide receivers that you've been hearing so much about moving forward. But yeah, no, it's a top 10 I'm really confident in. It's a top 10 that I think makes a lot of sense for the teams that are drafting. And, you know, if you guys got anything in the comments, let me know if I'm crazy or anything. But I think that some of these could hit. If, you know, you're into the betting scene like Jacob and Justin clearly are. And apparently Luke, who just won big last week, I didn't know about. So, I mean, you know, it is what it is. But I you know, I implore you to try to find some holes in this. You know, Sauce Gardner to the Jets, I think, is really strong. I think a Jordan Davis to the Falcons, that's right where he's going to be looked at. So it's pretty much a lock, boys.
So, on a percentage scale, how confident are you that this is the top 10?
It's up in the nines, at least. It's up in the percentile of Trayvon Walker's three cone and his arm length and his 40 time, which is in the 99th percentile, by the way.
Are you confident enough that for every incorrect pick you currently have in the top 10, you would do a shotgun on the Pooji podcast? Potentially 10?
You guys know me. There's maybe I would do a 2-for-1.
But you are so confident in the top 10.
And I'm shotgunning at most 5 beers, which sincerely put me.
I would do one for you, but like you're confident. I just wanted to see something.
I would do one for you on the podcast just because I would feel bad if you had to do all 10. I would do one or two for you if you agreed to this.
Okay, so where do you think you guys are going to be taking your shock? I mean, is it the Derek?
So it's like I'm not asking you to step off your confidence.
Where am I missing this, guys?
I'm not sitting here saying, oh, my top 10 is better than your top 10.
Okay. I don't think your top 10 is bad, but I'm playing off the confidence you got. I want to see you put your money where your mouth is.
Put the money. All right. Now, money is different than shotgunning beers. All right. Well, I mean, let's be real. I think the Sauce Gardner pick is almost a guarantee. Icky to the Texans. I mean, who do you think the Texans are going to take? You will note that Kayvon Thibodeau did not make the top 10, unfortunately. Now that I will put money on Jacob in that being almost a guaranteed certainty.
So if he does get the top 10, then you do back-to-back shotguns.
Back-to-back shots? A fireball?
Shotgun.
Let's be real. You know,
completely avoiding the shotgun.
He does not want.
You're confident, man.
Sam, we'll marinate on the shotgun idea. Luke, let's any punishments for Sam for any he gets wrong?
I wasn't punishing him. I just thought it was confidence level.
No, I think Sam has his top 10 list. I can see that all of them being hits. Might as well make a parlay on it. See what happens.
That's Mr. a big
parlay.
One.
Mr. Parlay, Luke Mutchie.
Upgrade from 8 to 10.
If I put $100, I would make like at least six figures off that bet. At least.
Yeah. If you hit every single top 10 and put $10 on it, you'd be a millionaire overnight.
If you hit every single top 10 pick, I will do the 10 shotguns.
Well, okay. I would also have $1 million, so I'd much rather the $1 million over watching.
You better buy them.
But it's close. It's close.
Well, hey, here's what I will say. Jordan Davis was a guy that I liked a lot all the way through this past season, and I was almost wishing the Jaguars would be in better position to draft him because of how much I do like him. And I know he's also a guy that says he kind of models his game after Marcus Stroud, another former Georgia Bulldog who was a Jaguar in the heyday of the Jacksonville Jaguars, was a big piece to a lot of success for Jacksonville. I did like him. And then interesting about Derek Stingley, he was a guy who UCF actually faced in the Fiesta Bowl when all the other starters on LSU were reportedly sitting out. Derek Stingley played that game as a freshman, liked watching him in that game. But what's interesting is Sauce Gardner and Derek Stingley have almost gone in opposite directions, if that makes sense, where if I do it like this, does that look right? They've gone like this. To where Sauce Gardner has spent his college career increasing his draft stock, and Derek Stingley has now crept behind Sauce Gardner. Still a top 10 pick, albeit I agree. He was a guy that I thought the Jags could take in the top five. What I have a question for all of you about is this. Sauce Gardner at number 4 to the New York Jets. Jalen Ramsey was the 5th overall pick to the Jacksonville Jaguars. When it's all said and done, if both of those guys were sitting there in the moment at number 5 in the Jaguars draft where they took Jalen Ramsey, would you take Ramsey or Sauce Gardner?
I'd take Ramsey.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it's DBU. The guy's combine measurements were disgusting, even though Sauce Gardner ran a 4.4, 4.39.
Asking if I didn't know what Ramsey's done at the NFL level?
Yeah,
I probably would say Sauce Gardner because I'm comparing.
That's what I was asking because Sam having Sauce Gardner going number 4 is just very interesting to me because when we took Jalen Ramsey, a lot of people, not interesting as in it's not a fit, but when we took Jalen Ramsey at number 5, a lot of people were critical of, oh, that's a very high draft pick to spend on a cornerback because there's this weird perception in football that there's certain positions that have certain draft slots that you can't take them above. And I've never supported that at all. So I like seeing it because I think he immediately helps the Jets in that situation, but it's just an interesting kind of comparison knowing Jalen Ramsey was drafted 5th overall. So, but anything else between the three of you before we sign off for the evening, anything else that stands out? All set?
All good.
All right. In a win total, oh, thanks, Sam. In a win total, final question of the night, how much better can the team get in the draft? If you had to put a number on it throughout the entire draft, from where you thought they would be to how they finished the 2022 season, how many wins will the Jaguars have because of who they draft this year?
They get two more.
Two more?
I was going to say two.
Yeah.
I'm going to say three, but I wasn't going to go two.
The optimist.
Okay. Sam's the optimist. He's going with three. So, all right. I like two or three as well. We'll go with that. I mean, obviously, that probably puts us at six or seven. If we're looking at it realistically, optimistically, closer to nine or ten, hopefully.
Yo, real quick, last thing. I want to know who you guys want at 33. What position do you think the Jags are going to move in on at 33? Personally, I'll start. I think that, you know, at the top of the second round, there's always those few skill players that fell out that are really good. Last year, you had Elijah Moore and the running back out of you know, who went to Denver. So I think that there might be a few skill players on the board at 33 that we can, like you said, Justin, you know, we can build around, you know, whether it be a running back or a wide receiver that we can kind of put with, with Trevor Lawrence. I want to know what you guys are thinking.
I like George Pickens.
Yeah, I mean, but
we're not getting one of those top receivers. We're good at those second round receivers, and I kind of like him to project. You know, it's not a huge risk taking a second round receiver, but I see him as someone that could be that outside, you know, player that, you know, Christian Kirk is better in the slot. But you know, Marvin Jones is getting old. I think we need a solid projected like outside receiver that, you know, with good development could become a number one.
He's got character issues. I sent you that text.
You know, they all do. They all did something bad when they were kids.
This guy's a boomer.
I'm pretty sure Aiden Hutchinson stole his brother's wallet one time, and now he's going to be a nice first round pick.
Now, that guy looks like he goes to church every Sunday. I've heard numerous scouts and wide receiver coaches saying that George Pickens was their number one boomer bust red flag character issues player. That I think is one of the 20 to 30 players that Trent Baalke is saying is off their board simply because.
So what if he booms? You always worry about what if they bust? Yeah. What if he booms?
Justin Blackman.
I'll get a shirt.
Yeah.
What if he booms?
Justin Blackman, too. Luke, what about you? Any positions that you want them to target if we do end up going edge number one? Any positions that stand out for the 33rd pick?
I echo what Jacob said. I'd be fine with a receiver. Honestly, at 33, if a guy slides out of the first round that, you know, is projected to go up higher, kind of like Miles Jack came down to us, I'd be fine with that too. Just best player overall if they slid down for some reason or another. But wide receiver.
Like it. And I will go with two players in mind. I mentioned him earlier, N'Kobe Dean. He'll probably go in the first round anyway. Because that's just what happens with guys that I want to slide. They end up not sliding. He's a guy that I really want, even if it means trading back into the first round. Like, I want N'Kobe Dean so badly, I can't even like wrap my mind around it. And taking Trevon Walker and then N'Kobe Dean, two guys that played at Georgia, would be absolutely sick. Keeping those two together. And then Tyler Linderbaum, center interior offensive lineman out of Iowa. I think he's projected as one of the best interior offensive linemen the draft has seen since Quentin Nelson. However, he is more of a center rather than a guard, so I think he might slide a little bit. I don't think he gets out of the first round, but if he does, he is a guy that I want to go after. I think once you get past 25, there's a lot of receivers that start coming off the board because it's kind of a luxury pick for a lot of teams. So I'm afraid that some of the receivers we want will get drafted towards the back end of the first half. But maybe a guy like Breece Hall, running back out of Iowa State, who was a fantastic college running back, bringing him in while we wait for James Robinson to get healthy. We don't know what we have in Travis Etienne yet. It'd be nice to kind of get a true running back in and still allow Travis Etienne to start the season as kind of like that dual threat offensive weapon that we drafted him as. So those would kind of be the guys that I would look at 33 if they fell there. I think Breece Hall more likely will be there than the other two, but those are the three guys I would look at. So anything else, fellas?
Excited.
Appreciate
you guys going to watch draft day for the draft.
Yeah, Jacob will come over. We will do our annual draft day watch-a-thon. We will watch the NFL draft on Thursday, but not before we watch draft day. Because Vontae Mack, no matter what.
Trayvon Walker, no matter what. Right now,
Trent Baalke has Trayvon Walker, no matter what, written in his pocket somewhere. So
that's how convinced me.
That's how it goes. All right, guys. Well, appreciate it. Those out there listening, appreciate you tuning in. I know it was a long episode, but it was a fun one. NFL Draft Talk can have us talking for hours on end. Subscribe to the Pooji Podcast. Go follow us on your preferred podcast streaming platform. But whatever you do, go enjoy the NFL Draft on Thursday. Go watch Draft Day. And most importantly, go make this world a better place and take care. We'll see you next time.